The Rebbe starts off the sicha by saying that it's a minhag Yisrael that when we bring a child, lebrisay shel Avraham Avinu olav hasholem, when we're going to give the child the bris, so there's a couple that's called a kvaters that bring the child in, like a husband and wife or something like that. Now the way it works is that the kvaterin, that means the woman, the girl, brings in the child from the door to the door of the Beis HaKnesses, to the door of the shul or the room, wherever the child is. And then the kvater, the man, the boy, takes the child from her and brings him to Kisei Shel Elio, where the bris is going to take place. The Rebbe says we know that Minig Yisrael Torah, Minig Yisrael is considered part of Torah. So it's understood that this Minig Bayidin is also considered Torah. Says the Rebbe V'yeshloimer, we could say that this idea, that a woman, although she doesn't have the mitzvah to give someone a bris, and so on, as we will see later. And nevertheless, the custom became that a woman should dafka somehow help out in the mitzvah of milah. So there's sort of like a support or a remez in our parsha. The Rebbe says, the pasuk, uvayoyim hashmini yimu b'sar olah, so in our parsha, the mitzvah of milah, says in the parsha that starts off with Isha ki sazriya, it's coming right in direct continuation to speaking about a woman conceiving, the yolda zachar, and giving birth to a boy. The parsha is discussing Torah's hayeledes, the laws of the hayeledes, the woman that had given birth. And in continuation to this pasuk of Isha Kisazriya, we right away have this idea of the bris milah. Now, even though, of course, the mitzvah of Vayoyim Hashmini Yimul, that circumcising on the eighth day, is the obligation on the father to circumcise the son, whereas the woman is totally not obligated in this, as the Gemara learns this out from Psukim, to the extent that there's a shakl of atariya, there's a machloikas, whether a woman is even kosher to give a bris. But nevertheless, once again, the mitzvah is contained within the parsha of the eiledes of the woman and her laws, the woman that had given birth. In fact, the man, the husband, is not even mentioned, not even in the pasuk where it speaks directly about the milu, b'yoyim hashmini yimul b'sar olosei, doesn't say clearly that it's the father doing it. Says the Rebbe, so this is, as we just mentioned, a rem is a hint of the idea that a woman has some sort of connection to the mitzvah of milah, and it's expressed practically by the fact that she becomes the kvaterin, bringing the child to the bris. The Rebbe says, b'kama mekoyim is in a number of places, by yidden, there's a minig by yidden, not to take a pregnant woman as the kvaterin. You know, bringing the child to the shul. And since, again, this is Minig Yisroel in many places, it's understood that this too is considered Torah. The Rebbe says is a famous Tshuvas HaRashba, that even a Minig, that's a Kabbalah, that's a tradition by the elders, by the elder women, by the elder men, the elder women, etc. You can't just push it away because you have some sort of question. If it's a Minig, it needs to be taken very seriously. Says the Rebbe, regarding this Minig, that a Muberes or pregnant woman shouldn't be the Kvaterin, a number of reasons are brought, whether it's because of sakana, because of a concern of ayin hara, other reasons. But, says the Rebbe, because we know the tremendous diuk, how precise minhagei Yisrael are, it makes sense to say that this minig is not only to do with some sort of side point, side issue or concern, because of a danger for the child, etc. But that somehow this minig of not taking a pregnant woman is connected to the very essence of what a kvater is all about, to the minig of taking a kvater. Says the Rebbe, via Shloima, we could say that generally regarding Taimei HaMinhagim, when we look at Taimei HaMinhagim, so, well, what does it mean, minig Yisrael Torahi? So one thing, minig Yisrael Torahi, means that it has the power of Torah, therefore you don't change it. Like we find the expression, minig aviseinu biyadeinu, the minig of our ancestors, our fathers in our hands, or al tashanu minig aviseichem, don't change the minig of your fathers. But there's also another meaning of minig Yisrael Torah, that the minig itself is also Torah in the sense of hayra. In other words, the minig itself is really coming to show, to indicate the idea, the content of the special mitzvah, whatever it is, with which it's connected. In other words, this minig is coming to highlight what this idea is all about. When we look at the minig, it gives us further clarity. Says the Rebbe, so we could explain in our case. But first, prefacing another idea. That similar to this idea that we have this minig Yisroel by the kvater, by the bris, we also have a similar idea by the marriage of a chosen and kala. which of course the marriage, the whole purpose of the marriage is peru urvu, to be fruitful and multiply, to have children, sons and daughters. And says the Rebbe, by a chuppah, by the chosen and kala, we also have this idea that we have a couple that is shushvinim. They are the unterfir, they are going to be the ones leading the chosen and kala to the chuppah. And here too, by this minig Yisrael, by this idea is, we also have the minig Yisrael that a pregnant woman shouldn't be the unterfir. It's just interesting that Rebbe points out, in the footnote that this sikh is not coming to establish whether that is the absolute minig by everyone and what we should do, but the Rebbe is explaining this minig that is by many people. About not taking a pregnant woman for unterfir. So the Rebbe says, it says in Sfarim, that these two minhagim, the minig that a pregnant woman shouldn't be a kvaterin by a bris milah, and the minig that she shouldn't be the unterfir by the chuppah, are actually considered, it's basically one and the same idea, it's one minig. And if that's the case, says the Rebbe, it's understood, that the reason for both minhagim will be the same. So by clarifying one, we'll have clarity in the other, by examining both of them together. Says the Rebbe, we can explain it very, very simply. And the Rebbe moves on to another minig we find in Shulchan Aruch, in connection to the minig of Kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur, that in addition to taking a tarnagoilus, a hen, a female chicken, for a kapara for herself, a pregnant woman needs to also take a tarnagoil, a male chicken, a rooster, for a kapara for the fetus. The only thing is, within this itself, we actually have two opinions. Whether it's enough just to take one male and one female chicken, because if the fetus is going to be a girl, then it would technically be enough to have the one tarnagoilus, the one female chicken, for the mother and the baby together. Because the halacha is that really two people could have a kapara together through one chicken, and two women could also have it through one female chicken. So that's one way of one opinion. Or we say, no, she would need to have actually three chickens. Two female and one male. Obviously, one female for herself, for the mother. One male and female chicken for the fetus, because we don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. Again, interesting to point out that in the footnotes that Rebbe deals with, what about nowadays, that there is some ways of seeing whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, etc. But the point is that this is actually the minig, that the minig Arizal is actually that a mu'beres does take three chickens. So now, says the Rebbe, we're going to apply this and it'll help us understand in our case these two minhagim regarding the ishu mu'beres about the kvater and the unterfir. The Rebbe says, the minig Yisrael is that both the shushvinin of the chosen and kala, the unterfir of the chosen and kala, and that the kvaters by the bris milah should be specifically two people, a man and a woman. Or, like in the case of the chuppah, you have many people, there'll be two men and two women. The Rebbe says, therefore, the minig Yisrael is not to take a isha mu'beres, a pregnant woman, because then there is now another person here, the child. And the proof is, back to kaparis, because in the case of kaparis, the child would need a kapara for himself. That means he's also something significant. That means suddenly he's counting as part of these unterfirers or kvaters. And therefore it will end up being that there are three shushvinin, three unterfirers or kvaters. And furthermore, the Rebbe says, also not an equal number as far as men and women are concerned. Because you'll have the mother, again, and the baby, and then there's the father. So depending on what the baby is going to be, it's going to make it, again, uneven numbers. And could be, says the Rebbe, these things are very, very relevant and important. And therefore, says the Rebbe, that's the reason we don't take a pregnant woman by the kvater or by the shushvinin, because then it's suddenly bringing up the numbers and leaving it an odd number, etc. And more than what you're supposed to have. Says the Rebbe, l'cha'oyri, you could still ask. The unterfirers or the kvater is technically the mother, not the baby. So why would that even make a difference if you have a baby there as well? Because practically, under the chuppah, there are other people as well. And we never care about who else is there. So why can't we just say, so what? So there's another baby there as well. But the Rebbe says the difference is very, very simple. All the other people that are there are not there as the unterfirer or in the case of the bris, they're not there as the kvater. Whereas the baby, which is part of the mother, therefore automatically the baby is also going to be part of the kvater or part of the unterfer. And the Rebbe gives an example to a similar sort of concept in halacha, where we say it really matters the intention of why you're there. So we have a halacha that if edus need to be accepted for something, and then in the group of edus you find that one of them is a relative or one of them is posel, then the whole testimony is all nullified, it's all cancelled. But when do we say this? If the person that's found to be not a proper edus, disqualified, if he actually had intention to say testimony. In other words, this whole group that came now, all of them wanted to be edus, and one of them was a problem. Then we say the whole group is disqualified. Or that they all came to base, so they all had intention to say edus, or they all came to base to say edus. But if it happened to be, in a particular case, that there happened to be a relative, or someone that's disqualified, and at the time when they saw whatever it was, they didn't intentionally, specifically want to testify, then we are going to say that the edus of the other kosher edus is not going to be disqualified. Because the karov or the posel, this relative or disqualified person, are just not considered as part of the witnesses because they didn't have it in mind. And therefore, again, back to our case, obviously the other people by the chuppah or the bris are just not counted as the shishvinin or as the kvater. The Rebbe says when we look in a little bit deeper, the Rebbe says we could take it a step further. That's from the minig of the kaparois regarding a pregnant woman. We could understand that it's not the pshat that this fetus is counted as a separate metzias. In other words, we're now viewing this baby as an actual child or person, etc. Because if that would be the case, why would he need a kapara or anything similar to that? If he's a fetus in the mother's stomach, clearly he definitely didn't do anything wrong. But rather the pshat is that this fetus is actually, in a sense, changing what the mother is. The fetus is adding to her metzias, to her existence. In a way, what's happening is that she is now considered no longer what she was before. She is now considered like two people, or three people if it's twins. And therefore, that's the pshat that she needs a kapara as a pregnant woman, and we say that she needs to have these extra chickens, etc., whether it's two chickens in total or three chickens in total, etc., is because what we're saying is that she needs it. She needs it because of the fetus, but it's not that the fetus needs it. What does it mean, she needs it because of the baby? The Rebbe says, the explanation is, when this woman, for example, ate something that's usher, that she wasn't supposed to eat, it now became part of her flesh and blood, and therefore she needs to have a kapara. But this food that became part of her flesh and blood, part of her heart, also became part of the flesh and blood and the heart of the fetus, of the baby. Or to say it in another way, says it, in a more general way, the idea of doing something that needs kapara is not only one aspect of the person, it's the whole person with all of his avarim, every part of him needs this, did the aveda in a certain sense, and now they all need a kapara. And if it's a isha mu'beres, a pregnant woman, so then that means she, including all of the parts of the fetus, it's part of her, but it's considered part of her, but it's all part of what needs a kapara. In other words, says the Rebbe, that the fact that she is taking the tarnagel, the rooster, in case she's going to have a boy, is not because this tarnagel, this male chicken, is a kapara for the baby in case he's a boy, but rather, when she gives birth to a boy, what's going to be now retroactively seen, and as when we look back, we realize that when she was a mu'beres, she was the kind of person that she was herself, but she was, in addition to herself, there's this extra part, so to speak, of her, which was the baby boy, that now also needed a kapara, and therefore she needs a tarnagel, not for the kapara of the baby, is a kapara for herself, as she was more than a regular woman. Says the Rebbe, according to this, that the fact that we don't take, so now we'll understand that when we don't take this pregnant woman as a unterfirer or as a kvaterin, It's not because this little baby is now going to be considered a kvater or a unterfeder, but rather this woman herself, this pregnant woman herself is, so to speak, like more than one woman. She herself is now like an additional person. Says the Rebbe, we still need further clarification. And that is the fact that we are medayik to specifically take a man and a woman. And the Rebbe asks, by the idea of a chassan and kala, to be the unterfeers of a chassan and a kala, so we could say that this corresponds to the chassan and the kala. That's why you take a man and a woman. But what is the idea of taking specifically a man and a woman as a kvater for the bris milah? And as said before earlier on in the sikh, it makes sense to say that it's diuk, the shayt, that it is connected to the idea of what milah is all about. As we said, the minig yisrael toireh means that it's a toireh, it's a hira. In other words, it's an indication of what bris milah is all about. If we look at this minig, it's going to tell us about the bris. Says Rebbe v'yeshloimer b'derech efshe, we can explain this in a possible way by first prefacing explanation of the idea of shushvinin by the chassan and kala. What is the idea of a shushvin? What is the idea of the unterfeers? Simply, says the Rebbe, since the chassan and kala up until now were strangers to each other, they were distant from each other, and therefore it's difficult for them, as a result of embarrassment and so on, it's difficult for them to suddenly transform themselves, change themselves around into a state of closeness, extra closeness, etc., which is taking place by the chassana. Therefore, we have the assistance of these shushvinin. Shushvinin is also translated as friends, as good friends to the chassan, to the kala, to support them, to help them, to strengthen them, to encourage them in getting closer to each other. Says the Rebbe, this is the reason why the minhag Yisrael is that the shushvinin should be a man and a woman, and it should be specifically a married couple, because it's obvious that if we want to be able to encourage the chassan, it's appropriate that a man, and a married man that went through marriage already, should be the one to encourage him. And similarly, with the kvater, similar with the unterfeder for the kala, it should be a married woman. And the Rebbe now moves on to the ruchni yisanyanim of this. We know that everything down here in this world is nishtalshel, is a result and comes down from the inyanim of the way they are up above. And similarly in our case, the idea of the unterfeder, the shushvinin of the man and the woman having a man and woman by a chosen and kala down here, is because this is the way it is in the chosen kala in their original root and source, which is the marriage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayachol with the Bnei Yisrael, with the Yidden. As we know, it says, B'yoyim chasunoso yizeh matan Torah, the day of Hashem's marriage Kavayachol with the Yidden, is the day of matan Torah. And there too, we had the unterfeers, two shushvinin. It says that Moshe is considered shushvina de Malka. Moshe was like the unterfeer, the one leading, so to speak, the chosen, the melech, Hashem. And Aaron is considered shushvina de matronisa, the unterfeer of the queen of Bnei Yisrael. What does this mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is the unterfeer from the side of the chassan. It's his task to bring closer, to draw down Elikus Mal Maila Lamata to the Yidden. Kivayachal, so to speak, similar to the idea of the unterfeer of the chassan, which is bringing the chassan to the kala. On the other hand, the job of Aaron, who is the shushvin from the kala side, he is the one bringing up Yidden Mal Mata Lamaila, that they should be able to have oneness, connection with Hashem. Similar to the unterfeeder of the kala that's going to lead her to the chassan. And the need for these shushvinin, by this yichud, by this union of Hashem and the Yidden, is because of the fact that the neshama of a Yid has come down a tremendous distance, as the expression may igra rama, like from a high rooftop, lebira amikta, to a very low pit. It came into the concealment of our world, and therefore, once again, there's this feeling of shame, of fear, when it's time to get close. So the Yid is standing in a certain sense of loneliness, of feeling distant. And how can he get close to the Hashem, to the greatness of Hashem, the awesomeness of Hashem, etc.? And therefore we need to have this shushvin, this unterfeer from the side of the kala, from the Yidden, which his idea is to take this Isha, which, what's the idea of Isha? It says, Isha oyser etzoin baila, to do the will of her husband, in this case, to do the will of Hashem, to bring the Yid close to Hashem, to elevate the Yid into Hashem. So that's the job of the shushvin from the side of the kala. There's also the shushvin, the unterfeer from the side of the chassan, which his idea is more like the idea of the ish, v'hu yimshol bach, the idea of ish is to rule, etc. In other words, to draw down the Elikus Mulmaila Lamato to bring it down to the Yidden and in the Yidden. And this is the idea again of Moshe and Aaron. Says the Rebbe, this is why we have the idea of Shushvinin specifically, Unterfer specifically, well, that the idea of the Shushvinin, excuse me, is connected very much with the idea of the Simcha that happens also by the time of the Chasana. Because the idea of the Simcha is when there's something new, a new novel idea is happening. And that's really what a Chasana is all about. When a man and a woman that originally were separate from each other, distant from each other, since they were born, they were two separate entities completely. But initially, they were, in essence, one thing. Each one is only a half a body, and together they are a whole. And now these Shushvinin are bringing them together, that they should be united in one. That itself brings out the most amazing, great Simcha. So that's down here in this world. And the Rebbe says the same thing is true Beruchni Yisrael Yadim. Because of the Neshama coming so down, so lowly down in this world, the Neshama became, so to speak, like separated from its state, from its level, from its oneness, from its connection with Hashem, as the Neshamis were up above. And then, as the Yidden are down here, Lamata, and they become connected to Hashem through Torah and Mitzvahs, and they are elevating all the physical things, all the godly sparks that had also come down very far and lowly from their original source, as they are down in here, and then when the Yidden is lifting them up, that itself causes, again, a tremendous, tremendous Simcha. Says the Rebbe V'yeshloimer, we could say this is the reason why Matan Torah specifically is called Yom Chasunasoy, Yom Simchas Liboy, the day of tremendous joy. Because before Matan Torah, there was that decree, that separation between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. The upper realm shouldn't come down. The lower realm shouldn't go up. And the Matan Torah, when it was the time of the Chupa and Kiddushin of Hashem and the Yidden, this Gzeira was nullified. Now we have that connection, that Yichud between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, as the Yid is down here in this world, and through the Yid, connecting all the matters of the world also with Hashem, and therefore it's called Simchas Liboy, the greatest joy. Says the Rebbe, now we can go back to the idea of Kvata. We can now understand the idea of the Kvata by the Bris Milah and how that's connected with this whole idea of the Shushvinin by a Chasana. The Shleimus and the Pnimius of this Yichud of Hashem and the Yidden, the ultimate where this is really expressed, is specifically accomplished by the Bris Milah. Because this is when we have the idea of Brisi b'Bsarchem l'Bris Olam. Hashem's covenant is inside of our flesh forever. The Bris of Hashem is, sort of, so to speak, marked and sealed permanently in the physical flesh of the Yid. That means that the whole Chiddush of Matan Torah, where do we have it in the most revealed way, this idea of Kedusha, Hashem, Elyonim coming into the Tachtoinim, the Elyonim Ruchni comes down below and Tachtoinim Gashmi goes up above, to the extent that the physical body is becoming one with Hashem. This is specifically expressed by the Bris Milah. Because the connection of Hashem and the Yidden by other mitzvahs, every mitzvah is a tzavs of a chibur, is a connection. But it's not so noticeable in the body of the person that did the mitzvah as much as it is by Bris Milah. Says the Rebbe, this adds and gives extra explanation. In this, the Alter Rebbe tells us in Shulchan Aruch that when does the Neshama come in? Tchilas Knisas Nefesh Zu HaKdoisha, the main time the Neshama starts entering the body is by the mitzvah of Milah. Says the Rebbe, this is why, just like by the Shushvinin and Chosn Kala, we said are a man and a woman. Because the idea is to bring close, to cause the union between the Chosn Kala, between Hashem and the Yidden. Again, the Shushvin, the Unterfer from the Chosn, and the Unterfer from the side of the Kala are bringing them together. Similarly, in the Shoyer Shoyin, up in the root, in the connection between the Ish and Isha, the Yichud of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, which is happening, as we said, in the most revealed way by the Bris Milah, this is expressed also according to the Minig Yisrael, that we also have this idea of a Kvater, a man and a woman, similar to the Shushvin and similar to the Unterferes, which is again going to be specifically Ish v'Isha, because Beruchnis is hinting to the idea that we have a Shushvin, the Unterfer from the side of the Melech, from the side of the King, from the side of Hashem, and we have a woman, the Unterfer, from the side of the Kala, of the Queen, which is the Yidden. And this is why by a Bris Milah we also have, similar to the Unterfer by the Chasana, here too we have a man and a woman. Says the Rebbe, now we can also understand why the idea of Simcha is such an integral and essential part by a Bris Milah, just like by a Chasana. We don't find this in so many other mitzvahs. The Rebbe says, the Razal tell us, on the Pasuk, Sasa noichi al imrosecha, I rejoice for your words, for your commands, is referring to the mitzvah of Milah. Even though, of course, every mitzvah has to have the idea of Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. The Gemara says that the reason why the Bris Milah is specifically done on the eighth day, why did the Torah say the Bris Milah should be on the eighth day? So it shouldn't be that everyone else is happy, and the father and the mother are sad. This is referring to the fact that the first 7 days, she can't be with her husband, etc. And as it's understood from the Mefarshim, we're learning this from the idea that the Pasuk says, Vayoyim ha-shmini yimlo b'psar olosoy. In our Pasha, it says right after the Pasuk is speaking about that tumah that the woman has because of giving birth, which finishes in the 7 days. So what do we see over here again? Simcha, such an important thing. And we wait till after the 7 days so the parents could also be happy. Why is that? Because the idea of simcha that happens because of a tremendous chidush, because of a tremendous novelty, just like by Chasana we said, when we have this new idea that Yaziv ish es aviv es aviv, he's leaving his parents' house, the Davak Bishta is cleaving to his wife, v'hoyu l'basar echad, becoming one flesh, as I said before, b'shleimus, once again we have this specifically by the mitzvah of Mila, which is again causing that inner connection, the inner oneness of Ish and Isha, which is Hashem and the Yidden, as we said, Brisi b'v'sarchem, Hashem's covenant is in our flesh, l'bris oilom, forever. The Rebbe says, what about a girl? The Rebbe says, by a woman, the Rebbe says, adrab, on the contrary, since it says that kemanda mehilo dam is considered as if she's already circumcised, so by her she has it the moment she's born. And the Rebbe says, by fulfilling both of these mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Piriyah v'Riviyah being fruitful and multiplying, which is the ultimate idea and the purpose of chasen, of the marriage of a husband and wife, of man and woman, and the mitzvah of mila, through all of this was oicha b'kar of mamish, to the gula mitzvah v'ashleima, when it will be the shleimus of the mila, as it says, umol Hashem eslavav Hashem will circumcise your hearts, v'eslavav zarecha, on the hearts of your children, and the shleimus of the marriage of the Yidden and Hashem, as it says, ki boy alayich eisayich, and then there will be the shushvinim, Moshe and Aaron, will also be then together with us.